That comes right out of John chapter 8, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. And that is great news, great news. God bless you. Thank you, singers, instrumentalists, for blessing our hearts. Thank you, for cadets, for sharing in our service. Great job. Appreciate it very, very much. If you have your Bible this morning, please open to Esther chapter 9. We'll look at 2 and 3 as our springboard verse. It's page 546 of your pew Bible. Page 546, if you want to use the one there in front of you. We've been doing a series on God's perfect timing, and today concludes that study. A time to ponder. A time to ponder and remember God's goodness to us as they remembered there in the book of Esther. God's good to them. Goodness to them. Look in 9, 2, and 3, our springboard verses today. Esther 9, 2, and 3. The Jews assembled in their cities throughout the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could stand before them, for the dread of them had fallen on all of the peoples. Wouldn't that be something if the dread of God, the power of God, the reverence and the fear of God was so great in America that it fell on the land? Even all the princes of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's business assisted them, because the dread of Mordecai had fallen on them. It's a time to ponder God's blessing on our nation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'll stir our hearts today. God, remind us of your goodness, your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us a vision of our work for you and our time that we have on this planet to make a difference in the lives of people. If there's one who's never made a life-changing commitment to Christ, today would be that day that they would make that commitment to be your fully devoted follower. Thank you, Lord, for this time of study. Bless our modern audience as they watch in the other building. Bless us here. God, let us sense your presence and your power. We ask humbly in Jesus' name, amen. Today we conclude our study in the book of Esther on God's perfect timing. And throughout this entire study, we have seen the invisible hand of God working behind the scenes by perfect timing to save the Jewish people from extermination. Believing fate ruled the world, Haman rolled the dice to see which day would be the best day to kill all Persians, all Jews in the Persian Empire. Ironically, the dice said the 13th day of Adar, a day before Passover, was the best day. Well, that D-Day prompted the Jews to fast and to pray, moving God to do some amazing things. What amazing things? The king called a banquet at Esther's request. Haman's wife pushed him to build a gallows. The king had insomnia on the exact night before the day Haman planned to ask the king to hang Mordecai. A servant opened the king's chronicles, just happened to flip open to the part of Mordecai's bravery. Just happened to be that his bravery had never been rewarded, and the servant remembered it. Before Haman could ask his question about hanging Mordecai, the king asked him, "In your opinion, what's the best way to honor a man who deserves to be honored?" Thinking the king had him in mind, proud Haman said, "Do it upright, king, don't hold back." King said, "You know, that's a great idea, so go honor Mordecai that way." At the second banquet, Esther revealed Haman's evil intentions, and a stunned king stepped out of the palace only to return at the exact moment that Haman was grabbing at Esther's legs and feet. A servant named Harbona remembered the newly built gallows in Haman's backyard, so Haman was hanged on his own gallows. The king decreed that the Jews could now assemble to protect themselves from any Persians who would attack. And today, as we'll see, the attacking Persians were defeated, and the Jews celebrated. And Mordecai lived at his days second in command in all Persia, an amazing story of timing and providence. In order to prevent the Jews from ever forgetting God's goodness and faithfulness and their freedom, Mordecai called for an annual feast called Purim, the dice. That's what it means, because they roll the dice to see the best days to exterminate the Jews, and God turned the tables to remind him that God rules the world, not dice. It's good to remember what God has done for us nationally and individually. It's good to celebrate the freedom we have as a nation as freedom-loving believers in Christ. There's many stories of how God supernaturally intervened in American history and saved us from disappearing off the pages of history. We could talk about the dense fog that came at the right time to Staten Island in New York that stopped General Howe's British forces, 32,000, from spotting Washington's 8,000 troops. Or the incessant rains that kept the British from further attacks on Washington's men. Or how in 1781, as the British almost overtook the Americans at the Yadkin River, a flash flood blocked them at the Dan River, allowing Americans to cross over into Virginia. Right after that, George Washington wrote, "We have abundant reason to thank Providence for its many favorable interpositions on our behalf. It has at times been my only dependence, for other resources seem to have failed us," meaning God is all we have. We could talk about the timing of Benedict Arnold's plan to betray West Point, and he was discovered. Or how the British troops invaded Washington in 1814, set the White House on fire, and yet a strange freak tornado blew in and it doused the flames. Smithsonian said only 7 times in Washington, D.C. history have tornadoes come through, and this one came in at the right time, dousing the flames, sparing the Capitol building and the White House. Yes, America has had its sins and its problems. And yes, we had slavery, but we fought to end it. We've had racism, but we have less today than any other nation in the world. And regardless of your gender, race, ethnicity, Americans have more opportunity to succeed and be prosperous than any other people in the world. There's a reason there's a long line of folks crossing the border to get into the U.S. and not a long line crossing to get out. It's because even with all of our problems and woes, we still have the best country in the world. And on this 4th of July, as we see the Jews in Persia celebrating their freedom and independence, let us as Americans be reminded as how we should celebrate ours. How did the Jews in Persia celebrate freedom and victory? How did they do that? First of all, they did it by meditating on past blessing. Meditating on past blessing. Look in verses 2 and 3. One more time, please. The Jews assembled in their cities throughout the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could stand before them, for the dread of them had fallen on all the peoples. For all the princes of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's business assisted the Jews, because the dread of Mordecai, more importantly, his God, was upon them. The Jews' deliverance was written down, no doubt mostly by Mordecai, so they would have a record for the future, for their descendants, their children, of how God delivered them. When the day of destruction came, the D-Day, signaled by the rolling of the dice by Haman, the Jews assembled in cities throughout the Medo-Persian Empire, and with the king's blessing, the Jews defended themselves against those who sought their harm. And because of Mordecai's high position in the kingdom, even the nation's princes and satraps and governors helped the Jews, causing the people to know it was the God of the Jews who was God. The dice had been cast, but God rules the world, not dice. If you studied Latin in high school, you remember that basic sentence, fate rules the world. Fata regis orbem. I don't know why I remember that. That is not right. God rules the world, not fate, not chance, not luck. I'm reminded of Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast in the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Paraphrased, God rules the world, not chance. And this written record of how God spared the Jewish people with his awesome power and providential timing would forever remind Jews that just as God had been with them in the past, he would continue to be with them in the future. Now I realize America is not Israel, but also realize Psalm 33:12 promises any nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As I said, we might not be and we might not have been a perfect nation, but the fact is our laws are based on the principles of the Bible, and our nation was founded on the principles of Christianity. As Mordecai, Esther, and the Jewish leaders wanted future generations to remember how God delivered them from extermination because of their faith in him, their trust in him, our nation's founders wanted future generations to remember how God has founded and blessed our nation because of our trust in him. There's a reason in the South courtroom of the Supreme Court, behind the Chief Justice, there's a marble sculpture of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. There's a reason above the east entrance of the Supreme Court, there's a sculpture of Moses holding 2 blank tablets with the Ten Commandments. There's a reason sculpted into the oak courtroom doors of the Supreme Court are two tablets of stone bearing the Roman numerals 1 through 10, corresponding to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are in the East Courtroom along the handrails. They're in the center of the chamber of the House of Representatives. Why? So future generations would never forget it was God who made us a great nation. There's a reason Chief Justice Brewer, in his opinion of the 1892 case, the Holy Trinity versus the United States, quote, "Our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teaching of the Redeemer of mankind, Jesus. And our civilization, our institutions are emphatically Christian," end quote. There's a reason America's first Chief Justice, John Jay, wrote, "It's the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." At one time, all of our nations in America required office holders to take an oath affirming the Christian faith before they could take office. Don't you know some of our Congress members would love that today? 1782, Congress not only approved the use of the Bible in public schools, they paid for them with tax dollars. It was assumed reading the Bible would make you a better citizen. That's a good assumption. 1844, when someone sued to remove the Bible from public schools, the Supreme Court ruled, "Why should not the Bible, and especially the New Testament, be read and taught as divine revelation in the schools? Where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly and perfectly as from the New Testament?" I find it amazing, December 27, 1982, Newsweek magazine ran a story with this caption, "How the Bible Made America," and in this article, the writer revealed, "Historians," I'm quoting, "are discovering the Bible even more than the Constitution was our founding document." Man, we need to hear that again. Fact was, if a proposed article for the Constitution was not supported or rooted in Scripture, it was not considered by the founding fathers. The Jews' victory from Persian attacks was written down for future generations so they'd meditate on it and remember God's goodness and blessing. And likewise, friend, we should remember how good God has been to America in the past. The battles of Yorktown, Midway, D-Day, Iwo Jima, Operation Desert Storm, Mogadishu. Even in Vietnam, did you realize even in Vietnam, until the Nixon administration pulled forces out of Vietnam, American troops were winning every battle. They fought every one of them. You can't call that a defeat. Today, Vietnam is a communist nation, does not have religious freedom. Religious groups have to register with the government. Unrecognized religious groups, including some Christian groups, face constant surveillance and harassment, forced renunciation of their faith, detention, torture, imprisonment, and death. Open Door USA said outspoken Christians in Vietnam can be arrested and are viewed with suspicion. Protestants in rural areas in Vietnam tend to encounter the most acute persecution, and they can lose their homes or their lives because of their Christian faith. That's why we got involved in the Vietnam War. Communism was expanding and trying to take over people's lives and freedoms, so they had to worship people and not God. That made it a holy war, in my opinion. And fighting against communism, in my opinion, is always the right thing to do. On this 4th of July weekend, we need to thank God for those who fought against communism. And we need to remember the freedoms we have because they did do that. God intervened in His perfect timing. And He made it possible for the Jews to assemble and defend themselves. More than that, He made it possible the fear of God would fall over the land so they wouldn't even want to fight the Jews, to the extent the leaders of the Persian Empire actually helped the Jews and assisted them. Every generation of Jews was to remember what God did for them, and their descendants were to remember that. And this weekend, we should remember what God has done for us, and our descendants should remember that. Consider the freedoms we have that most of the rest of the world does not have. Couples in the United States have the right to name their baby whatever they want to name their baby. Try naming your baby Kim Jong-un is not God in North Korea. See how well that goes. The right to a fair trial. Good luck in China with that. The freedom to wear whatever you want. Try wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus is Lord in Iran. The right to pursue an education. Sadly, the Dalits in India, they don't have that. The freedom to drive. Good luck getting a car and driving in Somalia. Freedom of religion. Not going to happen in Sudan. Freedom to end a marriage. Not for women in Saudi Arabia. The freedom to access unlimited information. No, that's regulated by the government of China. Freedom to travel. Not in Venezuela. Freedom to vote, only for Maduro in Venezuela. Freedom to own property, not Afghanistan, not Nigeria. Freedom to start a business, not in Yemen. Freedom to say what you want to say and write what you want to write, not in Russia or Cuba or the Congo. I'm glad I have the freedom to preach the Bible today. Just threw that out there. Man, we need to meditate on the freedoms and the blessings we have, and we need to remember why we have them, especially today. This is why the book of Esther was written, mostly by Mordecai, to remind God's people to meditate on God's past blessings to them. But we don't need to just remember and meditate. Number two, not just meditate, we need to participate in present battles. Participate in present battles. Look in verse 16. Esther verse 9, chapter 9, verse 16. Now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces assembled to defend their lives. Defend is the key word. And rid themselves of their enemies and kill 75,000 of those who hated them, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. When the king gave permission to the Jews to assemble and defend themselves against anyone who attacked them, and that's the key, when the enemy attacked them, they didn't go out looking for Persians to fight. They waited on them to attack them. Mordecai knew the hand of God was at work on their behalf, and they were not going to be exterminated as a people. Still, even though God was with them, they couldn't sit in a holy huddle and sing Kumbaya. They had to defend themselves. They had to participate in the battle. While most Persians refused to fight, those who hated the Jews were not afraid to fight. So when the day came for them to attack, these haters of the Jewish people attacked. But the Jews were armed and ready and prepared to defend their lives, their property, and their freedoms. It wasn't a time to sit and do nothing. It was a time to get in the battle. Verse 6 says, the Jews killed 500 of those in Susa, the capital, who hated them. But 16 tells us, throughout the empire, they killed 75,000 of those who hated them. When your freedoms and liberties and lives are being attacked, you do what the Jews in Persia did. You defend yourself. And that's the key word. They defended themselves. They didn't go looking for those who hated them because they didn't know who hated them until they showed up to kill them. Then they knew who hated them. And so that's the way it worked. They assembled, they armed themselves, and they waited. And when their enemies attacked, they defended themselves all throughout the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, Christian, listen. We should remember the freedoms others have fought to win. But like the Jews, there's a time to remember. We must defend the freedoms we have, lest they be taken away by those who hate liberty. I think about this young lady named Amy Phan West. She grew up in Vietnam before the communist takeover. Amy said before the takeover, her mother and father made a living by fishing. She said they made enough money to feed themselves and put a roof over their small family. She said life was beautiful and nice in Vietnam for a time, but things changed quickly. Once the communists took over, she said, everything my parents fished, they now had to give to the government. And if they didn't, they'd make an example of them and bury them alive if they wouldn't give everything they made to the government. And by the way, this lady's grandfather was killed by the Vietnamese communist government. Amy's father realized his family could not survive in Vietnam, so he got all of his children, hid them in his fishing boat, and set out to sea, taking all their food, their water, their clothes, everything they could get in the boat they took with them. After 3 days at sea, the family ran out of fresh water, but they were saved when they encountered a German oil tanker. The crew took them aboard, gave them food, gave them water, and eventually carried them to a refugee camp in Thailand, and they were granted asylum in America. But she said, the horrors of communism still haunt me. Amy said, quote, I've seen children and women raped and thrown overboard on a fishing boat. I've seen people die of starvation, eating flesh to survive. Amy says, I have no wish to relive that, but my message to young Americans is very simple. Tell us what it is, Amy. What is it? She said, quote, cherish and protect the Constitution, defend your freedom of speech, defend your freedom of religion, and defend your freedom to bear arms, end quote. Amy said, this country is great because of our Constitution, so we have to fight, we have to preserve it, and if we don't, we will lose it all, end quote. As Christians, we're citizens of two kingdoms. One of heaven, as represented by the Christian flag, and one of the earth, as represented by the American flag. We should promote and defend both. And certainly, sometimes that takes battle. We need to stand for God's truth in our personal beliefs, among our family members. We ought to stand for His truth in the workplace, at the school, and at the ballot box. We must not only have a biblical worldview and believe the values the Bible teaches, we have to stand up for them and speak out for them and vote them, lest we experience what Carmen Alexa experienced in Romania. Carmen was born and raised in communist Romania, where the government owned all the resources and the means to produce them. Carmen said the state controlled almost every aspect of our lives. They controlled our education, our job placement, the time of day we could have hot water, what we were allowed to say and write. And she said, despite the fact Romania was a country rich in resources, there were shortages everywhere, food, electricity, water, all of life's necessities. The apartment building where she and her family lived was granted time for hot waters, 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at night. She said Wrigley's chewing gum was a rare delight and a bar of chocolate was only for special occasions. When milk and butter and eggs were available, Carmen said, my mom, like so many others in our little neighborhood, would wake up at 2 a.m. to go stand in line so they'd have a chance to get these goodies. The store opened at 6 a.m., but they had to get there at 2 a.m. lest they miss the opportunity of getting the basics. She said, our family was rationed to a kilogram of flour, a kilogram of sugar every month. The TV channel our government provided showed people who suffered because of capitalism, and we were told we needed socialism and communism to solve the inequalities of life. Carmen Alexei escaped communist Romania. She came to the United States, and she's now working as a real estate investor, and she's done very well. Today, she has a blog where she writes about the importance of freedom and capitalism and the dangers of socialism and communism. Friend, like the Jews in ancient Persia, we ought to be meditating today, this weekend, on past blessing and participating in present battles to save the freedoms and liberties others have secured for us. And three, celebrating future benevolences, God's gifts, God's goodness, God's grace. Celebrate what He's given us and what He's going to give us. Look in 27 and 28. The Jews established and made a custom for themselves and for their descendants, as their children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, on down, for all those who allied themselves with them, so that they should not fail to celebrate these 2 days according to their regulation and according to their appointed time annually. So these days were to be remembered and celebrated throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and these days of Purim were not to fail from among the Jews or their memory fade from their descendants. God gave the Jews victory over those who hated them and attacked them. As I said, that was not the entire Persian army. It was only some of those in Persia who hated them and attacked them. And God gave them victory. And you can read about how many that died of those that hated the Jews in Susa and throughout the rest of the empire. The Jews made it a custom and a holiday for every generation, for every family, every descendant, that they would annually celebrate the days of Purim. Purim began this past February 25th at sunset, ended February 26th at nightfall. Rabbi Moshe Goldman said the Jews do several things in this holiday of Purim. Number one, they read the whole book of Esther. They call it the Megillah reading, so they can remember how God saved them miraculously in timing and amazing ways from extermination. Number two, the kids all wear costumes, since the hand of God was disguised by the timing of natural events, that God was at work, so they wear costumes to remember how God disguised good amidst what seemingly was bad. Number three, the kids all eat pastries, and they spin noisemakers called graggers that symbolize the drowning out of the name Haman, like those little things, you know, got the little metal thing, you know, anyway. And so you can't hear the word Haman. I guess they say Haman, but they do that so loud that you can't hear it. I don't know. That's part of their celebration. So how should we celebrate the 4th of July? Isn't that an important question for today? How should we celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day? First of all, we ought to remember something. If the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. The greatest freedom of all freedoms is knowing you're free from the punishment and the penalty of your sins. How terrible it would be to live in the United States and go to a Baptist church and celebrate the 4th of July by grilling a hamburger or a hot dog and eating ice cream, watermelon, whatever it might be, watching fireworks, but still not be personally released from the penalty of your sins. How awful to have the terrible condemnation of your sins still hanging over your head. Man, that would be like living in communist North Korea, and Kim Jong-un's soldiers are coming to arrest you and execute you. But because they're not at your door yet, you say, "How do you feel?" "I feel great. I feel fine. It's all good." Like the guy that jumped out of the Empire State Building, about the 50th floor, somebody stuck their head out the window. "How's it going?" "It's going great. So far, so good." Have you dealt with your sins? Have you trusted in Jesus to save you, to be your Lord and Savior? Ask Him to come in your heart, forgive you, and make you the kind of person He wants you to be. Committed yourself to be a fully devoted disciple of Christ. Not partially, fully devoted. Hear the words of the great hymnist Frances Crosby. She wrote, "Arise, come ye forth, and be slaves to sin no more. How oft your deliverer has called you before. Come forth from your bonds and your liberty receive. Your willing heart to Jesus give. Repent and believe." Friend, why face an uncertain eternity when you can know for sure you have eternal life? The Bible says these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What good news that is. What better freedom is there? There is none. That's the greatest freedom of all freedoms. Believers in Christ not only have a reason to celebrate their freedom as Americans, we also have reason to celebrate our freedom as Christians. It's time to remember the price that's been paid for our freedom. And Christian, it's time to get in the battle and defend those things that are precious and those freedoms that could be quickly slipping away. It's time to celebrate Jesus and the freedom we have in Him. It's time to celebrate today. Today, now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God is good all the time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I pray if there's one here this morning that has never been born again and they would like to be saved today, they would like to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and make a life-changing commitment to Him, that as we begin to sing, God, you'll give them the freedom to step out, come forward here with me at the front, pray and invite Jesus in their heart. Maybe one who's been saved, but they need to be baptized. We know baptism doesn't save, it doesn't wash your sins away, but it's a symbol like a wedding ring that has an important meaning. And it means something to those who see it, and it means something to those who profess it. And God, I pray if there are those here that need to come for that, you'll give them the freedom to come forward at this time. God, we ask you to be with those that need a church home. If Scott Lake is where you want him, give him clarity and wisdom and peace, courage to go and wisdom to know. That's our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today we have to preach the truth of the Word and proclaim your faithfulness. We ask your blessing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to stand at the front. This is a gospel invitation, an open public invitation. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart about a decision that you need to make, maybe to ask the Lord to save you, come in your heart, wash your sins away, you want to be His disciple today, follow Him, follow Jesus, this is the time you come forward. I'll pray with you here, to have a counselor I can call on that can pray with you, someone of like gender to go with you to a quiet place and make sure that you know things are right with you and God. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you need to be baptized, why not come right today? Why not come right now? If you're here this morning, you need a church home. Why not let Scott Lake be your church home? We'd love to have you. Come on. This is for you. This church belongs to Jesus. Therefore, it belongs to you. I'll stand at the front. We'll stand and sing 296, "Jesus is Lord of all." Not most, not some, but all. As we stand to sing, I'd invite you to come. All right? Let's stand and sing. I'll wait for you. Come on. Let's continue to sing. If you need to come, why not come right now? Why wait? Man, now is a great time. If there's something that God wants you to do, why not do it right now, this moment? Think about these words you're singing. Let them be your prayer to God and obey what you say. Thank you so much for your being here this morning. Don't forget there's no evening service tonight. If you're traveling, please be very careful. And watch out for the weather as well. It could be raining, so be very careful as you're driving and celebrating the events of today and tomorrow, if you're able to tomorrow as well. So be very careful. Again, I want to say a special heartfelt thanks to our cadet members for coming. God bless you guys, ladies, gentlemen. Thank you so much. We appreciate your coming, your family being with you. We really mean that from the heart. God bless you. Appreciate what you do. Really do. Appreciate what you do. And so, all right. Don't forget, Mr. Allen. Yes, there is a memorial funeral service here on Tuesday for Francis Green at 11 o'clock. So that's here Tuesday in this building. Now, we say 11 o'clock. As of right now, that's when it is. But we pray that pray the tropical storm will go way out to sea. So when you pray and thank God for the offering, Chuck, pray that God will steer that thing away from anybody, not just off of us, but, you know, from anybody. All right. Thank you for being here today. I hope you have a great, great day. Brother Chuck, would you have our offertory prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time that we're able to be here this morning to hear the words of freedom. Father, we just ask that you continue to be with our nation, be with our hearts. May we open them up to you and use you as our guidance and our deliverer. Father, we thank you for all your many blessings. And Lord, as we come to bring our tithes and offerings, we ask that you would be with each and every one. May you bless them over and over again. And Father, be in control of as you are of everything, as we come to this week to honor Frances, may you give her a good day, keep the weather away. And Father, for all these things, we just ask in Christ's name. Amen.